Giancarlo drives the ball high and deep to left. This is a no-doubter. And a ball lined and caught by Echeverria.
The Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seeloff is on 940 Wins.
Here's the pitch.
Miami Sports.
And Yelich drives the ball high and deep. Center field. Going back, Venable.
What do you say we chat a little Marlins baseball? Great to be back with you on this fine Monday in South Florida. I'm Kyle Seeloff with you for the next 45 minutes and with you for our second Hot Stove Show of the offseason. Mike Lukomiak always in the control room pressing all the right buttons. And we've got a heck of a show for you tonight. Just to give you a little preview, Marlins Gold Glove second baseman D. Gordon going to join us in just a matter of moments. And Perry Hill, the Marlins first base coach and infield instructor, one of the best in the game. He'll join us in segment number two. So hang with us. We've got a couple of terrific guests coming up tonight. Again, just so you know, we're going to do this every Monday night throughout the offseason and into spring training. 45 minutes on Mondays until after the holiday break. And each and every week, what we're going to try and do is have two guests, whether it's coaches, players, broadcasters, beat writers, etc. You get the deal, but we're really going to aim to have a loaded show for you every Monday night. With that being said, and before we get the D on the phone, allow me to give you a heads up on some of the upcoming events at Marlins Park a ways down the road and in near the near future as well, including this weekend baseball returning to Marlins Park this weekend for La Serie de las Americas, the first ever baseball tournament that presents the top Caribbean winter baseball teams from Venezuela and the Dominican Republic. Both dates will feature doubleheaders. Come experience the energy and passion of Caribbean winter baseball. For tickets, go to Marlins.com/Serie de las Americas. Again, that's this weekend, and it's really, really good baseball. Some big leaguers, a ton of young affiliated players. So if you're not busy, grab a weekend worth of tickets and head out to the ballpark and catch a little off-season baseball. So there you go. Some terrific events coming up at Marlins Park. Don't forget to start planning for the 2016 season. Mini plan season tickets wherever you want. You got it. And with those tickets, you're going to see one of the best in the business now, Marlins second baseman, Gold Glover infielder D. Gordon. He's going to join us in just a moment. He had an absolutely sensational first season with the Marlins in 2015. On top of winning the Gold Glove, he was the National League batting champion. He won the Silver Slugger Award. He was fantastic. And we're going to chat a lot about D's defense and what made him so successful this season. But before we chat with D, how about a little D. Gordon 2015 defensive highlight reel?
D. Gordon's got it to second for one. On to first for the double play to end the inning.
And a backhand flip by D. Gordon to first baseman Michael Morse, who can't believe what he just saw, but he caught the ball. That was flipped behind his back.
Ground ball sharply at the second. D knocks it down, picks it up to second for one. Back to first. They get the double play.
Knocked down by Gordon. He flips to Echeverria. They got the force on Harper at second. A sensational play.
Diving stop Gordon from the knee. Throws to first, and he's out at first base. Great play by D. Gordon. Diving stop to his right by Gordon. Gets up, spins around, and he throws Tejada out court right center. Everybody converging out there. D. Gordon makes a diving catch to save the inning.
Here's a bounding ball right side. Backhand stop. Gordon throws to first off balance, and he got him. Terrific play by Gordon, ranging to his right.
Gordon has it on the backhand. Good play. Throws to first. Gets his man.
On the line. Here comes D. Gordon running hard into foul ground. Sliding under it. What a catch by D. Gordon in foul ground.
Ranging to his left and smothering it from the outfield grass. Gordon throws to first. Got him. What a play.
Montero hits a hard one hopper. Gloved smartly by D. Pops up. Throws to first for the out. Bowler trying to get out of this. The pitch. And a line drive. Diving for it. D. Gordon speared it.
There's a line drive caught by the leaping second baseman. D. Gordon showing those basketball hops. Ground ball shot back up the middle. D. dives for it behind second and has it. Gets up, throws to first, and he got it.
Hopped up, short right center. Out goes Gordon with his back to the plate. Makes the over-the-shoulder catch.
Ground ball shot back up the middle. D. dives for it behind second and has it. Gets up, throws to first, and he got him.
He was fantastic, a pleasure to watch, a terrific guy on and off the field. And joining us tonight over the phone, the man collecting seemingly every award, Marlins second baseman D. Gordon. D., always a pleasure. How are you tonight?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Good. D., you were absolutely fantastic in your first season with the Marlins. You were remarkable offensively and defensively. But what I really want to know is, did you surprise yourself last season, D., or are you a guy that you know what you're capable of, and last year was no fluke?
You know, man, I always thought I was capable of a season like last year, you know, especially coming off of how well I played in 14. But it was just, you know, just better because I got to come to Miami and they let me become myself and start coming into my own guy, own man as a player. So that definitely helped a lot.
D, you're a humble guy, man, and you're a great teammate. I know there's a lot of people that contribute to your success, but for you personally, D, how enjoyable was your first year in Miami, given all of your accomplishments?
It was amazing. You know, it just makes me think about all the hard work I put in with a lot of coaches. You know, put their time and effort into me. You know, when they definitely didn't have to. You know, they could have cast me out like some other people did. You know, so it was definitely humbling because I got to share that with them, and I made sure I called all of them. I called every last one of them and personally told them thank you.
D, we've got your infield instructor, Perry Hill, one of the best in the business. He's going to join us shortly. I talked to him earlier this afternoon. And before I ask you about Bones, and quite frankly, how incredible he is, I want to talk with you a little bit about your journey to the big leagues, D. Gordon. This game can eat you up. It can spit you out. I'm sure you know that just about as well as anybody. So I'm wondering, was there a time in your journey to the big leagues when it became exhausting emotionally and physically and you weren't sure what the future held?
Yeah, man, end of 2012 and the whole season for 2013. And honestly, spring training of 14, you know, we had some Cuban guys that they had deemed to play over me. So I was kind of stuck again, you know. So that was a long 2 years, you know. It was tough, but, you know, everything happens for you.
Who were the people that really helped you out during those times, D? Who were your mentors? Who were the people that you were really listening to and guiding you?
Barry Larkin, Franklin Stubbs, and Gene Klein. Those were the three. You know, those three guys right there were in my corner every single day. You know, of course, my dad. I don't know. I didn't think I had to say him, but, you know, my dad definitely was there. He was being the best dad he could to a guy on the bubble, you know, who wasn't getting to play at all, basically, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, my dad was definitely there, and he definitely helped me a lot.
Marlins Gold Glove second baseman D. Gordon joining us on the Hot Stove Show tonight. All right, D., let's chat a little bit about your infield coach, Perry Hill. He's highly regarded as one of the best infield coaches in all of Major League Baseball. What is it, D., about Bones that makes him so darn good at what he does?
He's simple. You know, he's simple, and there's nothing that he does that's wasted. It's not, let's just do this here. It's a set agenda, you know, and he teaches everyone the same thing, you know. Some guys it works for, some guys it doesn't, but he teaches everyone the same thing, and he knows how to teach, you know, athletes. I'm an athlete, you know. I had to be being taught to be a baseball player, so, you know, he knows how to teach athletes, and he can take your game to a whole other level, man, you know. All around that infield, guys played pretty good. I think we had a really low number of infield errors, from what I heard. So that's all him. He works. It's not just a middle infield ball. He turns the first baseman into a better kicker and a better first baseman fielding-wise. Prado was a guy who had only 7 errors, you know, that, which is crazy at third base, you know, so... It's just a true testament to how good he really is.
Hey, D, you won your gold glove. Have you received the hardware yet? Where's it going to go?
It's going to go to my dad. Let him put it up for me. You know, just tell him thank you, you know, for everything. And, you know, so he can display it up at his office for all his friends.
Where did you personally see your most improvement last year, D? What part of your game came the furthest defensively? I know the beginning of last spring training, and I talked about this with Bones earlier. He said D was never too high on himself. He didn't think he was that good defensively. Halfway through the year, Bones said he heard an interview that you did, and you said you were enjoying playing defense. You were loving it. What part of your game came the furthest?
The biggest part of me defensively was the backhand. I struggled with the backhand, and especially at second. At shortstop, it was just a routine play. Like, I was never taught. Like, if I had to make a crazy play like a Hetch Maria play, I could make that at my sweep. But the routine play was just tough. But at second, man, it was the backhand. I had so much trouble with it. And instead of just being like, you know, Bone, I'm pretty good at second. I'm all right at second. Just teach me the backhand. I told him to teach me everything.
We see you
start me square one.
We see,
and that's what we do.
Yeah, and we see you on the field every night, D, but how much classroom work takes place behind the scenes with Bones, whether it's sitting down and chatting, just as friends are going over film?
Oh, man. Me and Bones talked all the time. You know, it took, even for me, you know, I take his infield Bible, and I go home and read it, you know, stuff like that. So I'm definitely a student at the game. I want to be the best I could possibly be. I go say I'm trying to come here and be the best, because that's unrealistic. I just want to be the best I could possibly be for my team every day.
As far as you've come defensively, and you did a heck of a job at the plate this season, what's better, a game-winning hitter robbing the other team with a terrific defensive play to end the game now?
Robbing the team, the defensive play, for sure, because everybody know you made that defensive play, and then you get to slap ass with your boys afterwards, so that's the best set.
D. Gordon joining us over the phone on the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight. And D, he's going to win a gold glove. And if he doesn't, shame on the voters and the selection process. But how good is a Danny Etcheverry? And what do you think makes him so special playing alongside of him?
That man, he's unbelievable. You know, coming from a guy who played shortstop at a major league level. Didn't play it as good as Hitch, but I was over there. And he's amazing, man. The things he can do with the baseball is unbelievable, man. We compliment each other. You know, it comes time sometimes the ball will get hit out the middle and it can be a base hit, and we look at each other like, wow, how did we let that happen? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like we take pride in being the best with each other.
D, let's switch gears a little bit for a minute and talk a little offense. Before we go, actually, we had some fans submit some questions for you, so we'll get into those in just a minute. But similarly to the question I asked you about your defense, your biggest improvement offensively this year was in what area?
Being confident in my ability. I wouldn't say it's like one area of swinging, bunting, or none of that. Just being confident in myself every day and playing my game. That was the biggest thing for me. You know, overall, just being comfortable in my own skin, knowing that I'm not going to walk, not trying to go out here and work walks, because that's how I have high strikeout totals. So just going out there and doing what I got to do to help the team win, which is getting on base my way, not anyone else's way, but my own way.
Hey, what was it like? Was the weight of the world off your shoulders, D, the final day of the season when you knew you locked up that batting title? It was a heck of a final day for you. You nearly hit for the cycle.
Yeah, man, God is good, man. God is good. I just went out there and wanted to, you know, just go play hard. And like I told DJ and the rest of my teammates, man, I'm not going to sit out the best man go in. If it was for Harper to win, it was for Harper to win. You know, Harper's pretty much going to win this MVP. So, I guess, at that time, the batting title was for me to win.
How aware were you of everything taking place in the final days of the season?
I knew where we were statistically. Mm-hmm. I didn't know where we were during the game. I told no one not to tell me. When TK came out and told me, you know, that he can't catch you or whatever. So, I ended up striking out the next at bat. So, I was like, man, I wish I wouldn't have let him tell me that.
I know you're a team guy, and it was certainly evident by the way the guys celebrated your accomplishment afterwards on that final day of the season in Philadelphia. But for you personally, how good did it feel to see the smiles on your own teammates' faces who were pulling so hard for you and ultimately extremely happy and proud of you, D?
Man, honestly, I like the smiles on their face when I do something for them, like, you know, like taking a base hit away for Hosey or a TK. It's not always about me, man. It starts with me. It doesn't finish with me. So, you know, I'd rather see my teammates happy than my own self, honestly, man, because that can go a long way. You know, if you're not a good teammate to guys, man, when you get older, you know, you're not going to have any friends in this game. And, you know, this year I made a lot of friends. I have friends on the Dodgers as well, but I made a lot of friends here with the Marlins.
Couple of questions before we get into our fan questions they submitted earlier today via the Marlins Twitter handle. D, one of your this pertaining more to the base stealing aspect of your game. It was evident again this season you were terrific. People just see a guy steal a base. They watch D. Gordon steal a base. He's just so fast. But what makes a guy that's able to steal a base like yourself so successful? What makes a successful base stealer?
I don't know yet, man. I got to get better at that. I had a terrible year stealing bases. That's some stuff I got to work on. But, you know, you got to, you know, believe in your eyes and trust your eyes. And, you know, my biggest thing is forcing it at times. So you can't force it all the time.
How does a perennial base stealer practice stealing a base, D? Is it more of knowing the guy you're seeing that night who's on the mound? Is that something you practice?
Yeah, you got it. I'm weird. I try to practice, you know, while I'm watching video. But it's kind of something you can't really practice. You just kind of got to have it.
All right, D, before we let you go, we wanted to get some fans involved and give them a chance to ask you a couple of questions. You ready? And some of these aren't even baseball related. Our first one, here we go. Shannon in Connecticut. It pertains to McDonald's and Chipotle. We'll start with McDonald's, D. When D. Gordon drives through McDonald's, what's his order?
All right. It depends on the time. If it's early in the morning, I get 2 sausage McMuffins with egg, 2 hash browns. If it's later, I get 2 double cheeseburgers and a large fry. And maybe a 10-piece McNugget, too, if I'm
okay, and as for Chipotle, that was another question.
Chipotle, I get a burrito bowl, steak, cheese, rice, pinto, white rice, pinto beans, salsa, and a little bit of hot and cheese. That's it.
All right, there
good
we go. Now we know D. Gordon's eating habits at Chipotle and McDonald's. Our next question, Amber from Pennsylvania wants to know, what was it like in 2008 being with your dad for the World Series in Philadelphia?
Man, that was amazing, man. I was a Dodger at the time. I just got drafted. And while I was in Instructs in Arizona, the Dodgers was playing against the Phillies in the NLCS. And I was getting so much grief because I was rooting for the Phillies to win, even though I was a Dodger. But I had to tell my teammates, if the Dodgers win, I don't get to go to World Series. If the Phillies win, I get to go. So they understood it a little bit better, but it was amazing, man. My dad had never won one, and we didn't even know that was going to be his second to last year. And I'm just grateful he got one.
Joe from Long Island wants to know, and it kind of took the Marlins by storm this year, D, how did you think of the postgame dunking, and what was it like getting dunked on that one time?
The postgame dunking was fun, man. That was just us building camaraderie. You know, a lot of us, you know, came from a different organization. So that was just us, you know, building camaraderie with each other. And getting dunked on was cool, man. I mean, I helped the team. So anytime you get dunked on, you did something pretty cool to help the fish.
Here's the next one. D. Gordon's go-to music before the game is what?
See, I'm weird. I listen. All right. You know, this might sound like bad. It's just one song called I Just Want the Money. I love this song. I don't know why. But it's not because of money or anything, I promise.
Okay, and along those lines, music-related, D, we know you can dance. We've seen you on the field pregame. Your favorite song to dance to, this one from Roger and Broward.
Favorite song to dance to right now is a song by Young Thug called Pull Up on a Kid.
Okay, and I hope maybe we'll have to pull that out at Marlins Park next season. And D, before we let you go, last question. I like this one. This one's from Christina in Miami. You're always positive. You keep the mood light in the clubhouse. You keep your teammates light. What motivates D. Gordon every day to keep the positive attitude?
Well, my mom died when she was 25. And, you know, I'm 27, you know, so you never know when you're going to go, so. You got to be positive every day, especially because, you know, I had baseball taken away from me, you know, early on from, you know, the organization I was in. So if you're not positive, you're going to be pissed off every day, and that just don't work out. Like, you know, you can't play that way. I tried it. It didn't work out for me. So, you know, good or bad, I'm going to just be the same person and, you know, be a good teammate and always laugh, even if I am mad. But, you know, you make better friends like that if people respect you better.
D, we can't thank you enough for the time, man. It's been an absolute pleasure. Congratulations again on all your accomplishments. We couldn't be happier for you. Have a happy, safe, and healthy rest of your off season, and we look forward to see you in Jupiter in the coming months.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
D. Gordon, absolutely fantastic, a heck of a ball player and an even better person. We thank him once again for taking some time for us tonight. All right, we'll take a quick break. Coming up next, one of the best infield instructors in the business. We know him as Bones. Perry Hill will join us on your home for Marlins baseball, 940 wins and iHeartRadio.com.
Keep your hand on the hot stove with the Miami Marlins' Kyle Seeloff. 940 wins. Miami Sports.
Well, welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show. Always great to have you on board. Just our second show of the Hot Stove season. Last week we had for you the introductory press conference introducing the Marlins' newest manager, Don Mattingly, along with a one-on-one conversation with Donnie Baseball. Don't forget, if you miss any of our Hot Stove content, feel free to check out marlins.com/podcasts every Tuesday, late morning, early afternoon, and you'll have access to the show in its entirety. Well, the great first segment tonight with Marlins Gold Glove second baseman D. Gordon. Couldn't be happier for D, who's just a terrific and sensational person, not only on the field, but off the field as well. Got to let you know, make sure you get your hands on your 2016 group tickets. Whether it's a family celebration, a networking event, or a fundraiser for your organization, a Marlins group sales rep can help arrange your group outing at Marlins Park next season. Call the Marlins Group Sales Department today, 305-480-2523, or email groups@marlins.com. And the Grand Slam Party Latino coming to Marlins Park. The biggest stars in Latin music set to converge in Miami Saturday, December 5th. Boy, oh boy, that's about 2.5 weeks away now. For the first ever concert in Marlins Park history, the musical extravaganza features a lineup of over 20 renowned artists together for the first time in concert. Ricky Martin, Carlos Vives, Laura Pausini, Alejandro Sanz, Willie Colon, Jerry Rivera, Prince Royce, and many more. Don't miss your chance to see these Latin stars live in concert on December 5th. Go to marlins.com/grandslam to lock in your tickets today. Well, we continue, shall we? Right now, a conversation with D. Gordon's infield coach. With the Marlins, we call him Bones, Perry Hill. Earlier this afternoon, I chatted with Bones about a variety of topics, including the progress and accomplishments of D. Gordon. Bones, first and foremost, it's always great to chat with you. How's the offseason? Have you found a little bit of time to relax and hang out with the family?
Just kind of kicking back. The temperatures are mild here in Michigan right now. It's 63 degrees here today. It's a balmy summer day. And just kind of hanging out. Yes, I'm catching my breath after a long and hectic season.
Well, there's a lot I want to get to tonight. I'm not sure we're going to have time to get all of it in, but I'd like to start by asking you about that now Gold Glover at second base, D. Gordon, a kid you've got to work with all the 2015 season. Bones, how happy were you for D., who's such a terrific guy?
Well, number one, he's a much better person than he is a ball player. So that tells you the quality of individual he is. And his work ethic is, you know, really second to none. He came into spring training. We had talked during the winter about this time last winter when he was traded. And he had a goal, and he wanted to be a better defensive player, and his goal was to win a Gold Glove someday. And so when you have players with that kind of motivation and the kind of work ethic that he has, it's you just kind of wind them up and let them go and watch them play. And he was on a mission, and he got the mission accomplished. What he wanted was a Gold Glove, and that's what he did.
When you first got to know D last spring, the biggest improvement he had to make defensively was what?
Well, he was pretty good at everything, to be honest with you. He'll always tell you that he was terrible, but I don't think so. I think it was just repetition of some things and game experience, you know, just playing more. He was on the other side of the diamond most of his life, and and you've got to be able to make some adjustments, and he found a way to make those adjustments.
Perry, how much did you see his confidence grow throughout the season?
Well, I remember somebody interviewed him at some point in time during the year, and I can't recall what the interview was, but I do remember reading a comment where he said that defense is fun, that he looks forward to playing in the field. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what his attitude was before, but I do know that I read that comment, and anytime you want the ball hit to you, that means you're confident. And he wanted every ball hit to him, and the balls that weren't hit to him, he went and got them.
Marlins infield instructor Perry Hill joining us on the Marlins Hot Stove Show. Bones, when you teach a Gold Glove infielder, whether you're working with a polished player, how do you make sure they continue to get better, whether they're 34 years old or 24 years old?
Well, that's a good question, and it's really, you know, it really comes within the player himself, how bad he wants to be better, how bad he wants to maintain where he is. And I have yet to find a major league player that doesn't want to get better, who doesn't work. I mean, some of these guys are out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, hitting early. They're out taking ground balls early. They're throwing side works. They're working flat grounds. These guys are big league players that they just don't walk into the ballpark at 5 o'clock, take a couple of swings, and play the game. I mean, these guys are out on the field sometimes as early as 2 o'clock in the afternoon, trying to maintain or trying to get better.
Bones, throughout the course of a season in 162 games, we see the players getting their work in. We see them working with you. But take us through a regular day for you. Is it a lot of film for you? Even if it's not with the player that you want to teach, are you always watching? Are you always trying to get better and learn?
Well, I think you have to if you're going to stay on top of your job. A typical day for me was to show up at the clubhouse and chart the previous night's game, where the balls are hit, who pitched, what the pitch was, what the location was, where the ball was hit. Was it hit hard? Was it a situation, a guy trying to get a runner over? Was he trying to drive a runner in from third? I make notes of all those situations. And then I go up to the film room and watch maybe swings of players that I haven't seen very much or players that have just been called up. And then usually at 3 o'clock I take an infielder out on the field to do some specialty work, whether it rotates or who that might be. And then there's the regular batting practice and then the game.
Bones, you've been in this game a long time, and you've worked with some absolute terrific athletes, some incredible baseball players, but everyone is human, and we watch this game. Everybody makes mistakes. As a teacher, as a coach, as a friend to these guys, how do you encourage and keep guys positive if they're in a little bit of a funk defensively?
Well, number one, you can go into a fielding slump. Those are well documented in some cases. What you have to do is you just have to keep pressing and just make every day the same routine. Mm-hmm. You don't panic if things are going wrong. You don't take a guy out early just to be taking a guy out early. If there's a mission behind it or a purpose behind it, or if it's a regular maintenance day, it's okay. But just because a guy may kick a ball or two one night, you don't panic and take him out the next day. The player will sense an urge of a sense of panic there, mm-hmm. and that plays on their confidence and on their head. I think you keep your normal routine, your normal schedule, and over the course of a season, things work themselves out.
Perry Hill joining us on the Marlins Hot Stove Show. Always great to talk with one of the best infield instructors in all of Major League Baseball. Perry, for you personally, you teach defense a certain way, but as the game evolves, do you as well?
Well, I've had to here recently with the analytics and the shifting and things. I was kind of stubborn at first, mm-hmm. but I bought in. I don't know where we rank and all that kind of thing, but we have done more of that in the recent years, and I'm sure that as research continues and gets better and we make adjustments ourselves as coaches, especially myself, I'm sure that you might see a few more of those things.
I'm sure this question is along those same lines as well, but the size of the diamond, maybe the field dimensions differ, but the diamond, it's the bases are 90 feet apart. That's not going to change. You fundamentally teach to field the ground ball, to play defense a certain way. Well, has that changed over time as well?
No, sir. No, I've been teaching the same things, I don't know, since the 80s. The same system, the same format. The same way. I don't think it's outdated. I think we've had some results, but I have tweaked a few things here and there. Mm-hmm. But basically, to answer your question, I've taught the same thing now for almost 40 years.
Hey, Perry, and here's a question for you as well, because you, again, you've worked with some incredible baseball players. How rewarding is it to teach a young, raw, talented player within a system, watch him come up, and then ultimately succeed at the big league level?
Well, I'd be lying if I didn't say it was fun, because it's really rewarding to see a guy buy in and tell you, I'm going to trust the process, and I'm going to trust you, and they believe in you and believe in your system, and then they give you a shot to prove yourself. And I've been lucky over the years where I've had a lot of players that have trusted me and maybe did some things that they weren't used to doing and experimented with, and maybe over time got a little bit better.
And Bones, you led me right into my next question, and I apologize if this is a little bit long-winded, but it's something that's always fascinated me, and I think fans out there as well. When you talk about a player trusting a coach, and here's why I ask, guys get to the big leagues, they've done something a certain way their entire life. How do you build trust with a player? And I guess what I mean by that is a guy comes to the Marlins. He's been in the big leagues. He fields a certain way that's made him successful. When you try to teach a guy something, how do you build a rapport and a relationship with your players?
So I don't think you force feed anything on a guy that has a proven track record. I think that you just do your thing, and he's been successful. That's why he's in the big leagues. That's why your team wanted him. But there might be a point in time where he sees that somebody else is doing something, and he hears us talking about it, and he becomes curious.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a way that may help him tweak his game in a way that may make him slightly better than he was. And so they start to ask questions. And when that happens, then your door is open to present your material, and you don't force upon them because they are good players. They are in the big leagues. But the door is open for you to give your thoughts and your system to them, and sometimes they grab it and go with it.
Bone, switching gears a little bit. Number one, I'm not happy Adani Echevarria didn't get a gold glove because he certainly deserves it. But I got to ask you, you've worked with D. Gordon and Adani Echevarria now for one full season. You sit in the dugout every single night. You watch that double play combination. You watch one of the best middle infields in all of baseball. In your opinion, is it the best?
Well, if it's not the best, it's 1A. I don't think there's any other infield tandem that's any better. Whether they're the best or not, there's a lot of good ones in the league. I would think I think ours is the best. For the people who don't, then our guys have to be 1A. I think if you watch our guys day in and day out, not only are you relaxed when a routine ball is hit to them, but then you're amazed at some of the things they do when they have to show the range that they both possess. The game experience, the game smarts, the game instincts they have. I think you have to marvel at what these guys do day in and day out.
Marlins infield instructor Perry Hill joining us on the Marlins Hot Stove Show. And just a couple more questions for Bones as we wrap up. Your 2015 offseason heading into 2016, Bones, at what point do you start preparing for the next season?
Well, I believe that, you know, we have a core group of infielders that are returning, so that mm-hmm. makes it a little bit easier than in some years where you may have three or four different faces. You know, I just kind of sit back and kind of keep a track with the website, surf the internet, you know, wait for calls from Mike Hill or, you know, about who guys that we might be acquiring mm-hmm. and who might be in spring training. Look at six-year free agents that we might have signed that might be in spring training, trying to research those players and what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are. So going into spring training, I have a little foundation to work with.
Speaking of acquiring, certainly some news here in Marlins land, I'm sure you know. Of course, Don Mattingly now with the Marlins. He's going to manage the ball club. How excited are you to get working with Donnie Baseball, and do you have a rapport with Donnie throughout your years in the big leagues already, Bones?
Well, we've met and talked when he was the manager in L.A.,
uh-huh.
and, of course, he's an iconic name in our game. And I think everybody's excited to have Don in Miami. I'm excited to work for him, excited to pick his brain and to listen to him and his philosophies and how he teaches the game. I'm excited.
Perry, we always appreciate the time. You were fantastic. As always, have a healthy and a happy rest of your offseason, and we'll chat with you again soon. Thanks again.
All right, Kyle. Thanks.
Great stuff with Bones, an absolute infield magician, one of the best teachers in the game. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot to learn from Perry Hill. And whether you're a kid playing or a parent looking to teach your kid how to play the game, in particular fielding the ball, you can go to myinfieldcoach.com. That's Perry's website. There are certain things you can subscribe to on there, which allows you access to some of the teaching, along with videos showing proper fundamentals. So check it out, myinfieldcoach.com, a terrific website. You can check out some of the gold glove that Bones has worked with. He's had the pleasure of coaching amongst a variety of other topics as well. You know, he's worked with some of the best, Luis Castillo, Orlando Cabrera, Mikey Lowell, Derek Lee, now, of course, D. Gordon. Hopefully, one of these years, that list will include Adani Echevarria as well. Don't forget, the Miami Beach Bowl returns to Marlins Park Monday, December 21st, the second annual Miami Beach Bowl. It's going to feature a top team from the American Athletic Conference against a team from Conference USA. For more information, go to MiamiBeachBowl.com on tickets and potential matchups. And fans, make sure you join the Marlins and celebrity chef Adrian Calvo at the second annual Taste of Miami at Marlins Park Thursday, February 18th. Indulge in the stylish flavors of Miami and delectable culinary bites and premium spirits, craft beers, wines from the best local restaurants and breweries. For more information on tickets and sponsorships, call 305-480-2550 or go to marlins.com/taste of Miami. We'll step aside for a couple of minutes. When we come back, news and notes around Major League Baseball on your home for Marlins Baseball, 940 Wins and iHeartRadio.com.
Marlins Baseball Hot Stove Talk with Kyle Seeloff is on 940 Wins.
Giancarlo, long way back, dives for it, and he got it! What a play by Stanton!
Miami Sports.
Back here on the Marlins Hot Stove Show. Got about 3.5 minutes left. Great to be with you once again. We've had a couple of terrific guests tonight. D. Gordon quickly becoming a star in Major League Baseball joined us in segment one. He was outstanding. Segment two, the man guiding D, so to speak, defensively, his infield instructor, Perry Hill, joined us to chat and make sure if you missed any of our conversations tonight that tomorrow you go to marlins.com/podcasts. Late morning, mid-afternoon, you'll be able to download the show in its entirety. The Rookie of the Year Awards, they've been announced just a short while ago. We'll check those out in just a minute, along with some other news. One of them pertains to the Marlins, Marlins-related anyway. But first, make sure, fans, that you be a Marlins season ticket holder. If you're a Marlins season ticket holder, it's the only way you can guarantee yourself access to the 2017 All-Star Game at Marlins Park. Place your 2016 Marlins season ticket deposit. Join the Fish family today. You can guarantee All-Star Game tickets with as little as a 20-game mini-plan purchase. Call 1-877-MARLINS or go to marlins.com/tickets. And the Marlins searching for talented female and male dancers, cheerleaders, gymnasts, breakdancers to become part of the Miami Marlins Energy Team. Open auditions will take place at Marlins Park Saturday, January 16th. The Marlins Energy Team, a high-energy squad, unique mix of gymnastics, hip-hop, acrobatics, modern jazz, funk, and breakdancing. Team provides excitement and entertainment during the Marlins home games and appearances throughout the community. Candidates are welcome to reach out to Director Jose Guerrero at jguerrero, J-G-U-E-R-R-E-R-O, at marlins.com, or visit marlins.com for more information. Well, this just in a short while ago, Chris Bryant and Carlos Correa, the Rookie of the Years in the National League and American League. Chris Bryant, he was unanimously elected the National League Rookie of the Year. He hit 275, blasted 26 long balls, drove in 99 runs for the Chicago Cubbies this season. As for Carlos Correa, he hit 279, 22 home runs, 68 RBIs. I mentioned that there's some Marlins-related news tonight. Former Marlins pitching coach Chuck Hernandez has joined the Atlanta Braves organization. He will be a minor league the pitching coordinator for the Atlanta Braves. So congratulations to Chuck Hernandez, seeking other opportunities and now joining the Atlanta Braves organization. Don't forget, coming up here in the coming nights, the Big Time Awards, the MVP Awards, will be announced on Thursday at 6 o'clock, National League and American League. Goldschmidt, Harper, Votto up for the MVP in the National League. In the American League, Lorenzo Cain, Josh Donaldson, Mike Trout. Cy Young Awards, Wednesday at 6 o'clock, Sonny Gray, Dallas Keuchel, David Price, Jake Arrieta, Zach Greinke, Clayton Kershaw, the National League Rookie of the Year. That was announced tonight. And the Manager of the Year Awards, Bannister, Molitor, and Hinch in the American League, Terry Collins, Joe Maddon, and Mike Matheny of the St. Louis Cardinals, finalists for the National League Manager of the Year Awards. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. Again, a big thank you to D. Gordon and Perry Hill for joining us tonight. As always, Mike Lekomiak, thanks for your terrific work behind the glass. Make sure you join us next Monday, the Marlins Hot Stove Show on your home for Marlins Baseball, 940 Wins and iHeartRadio.com.